Your response to this evidence will determine your destiny. I don't know what you're giving your time to. I don't know how deeply you've thought about the claims of Christ. But I want to tell you this. You don't have to throw your brains in the trash can. In fact, you have to turn them on. And you have to maybe remove some presuppositions. And you need to look at the facts. Because how you respond to the facts that are verifiable, that you can check out, will determine your destiny. I'd like to read in closing just a passage that's very familiar. But often we stop with the first verse. John 3:16. If you've ever been to an NFL football game, you're familiar with this verse. It says, "For God so loved the world," that means you, "that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever," does what? "Believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's God's dream. He loves you. He loves you. Notice, though, verse 17, not often quoted. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God's not down on people. He didn't bring Jesus to point out what a jerk everybody was. Most of us have that down. We know that. He sent him to forgive. Verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already." Why? Because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's a rejection of the evidence. It's a refusal to believe. Why? You know, it's so convincing. Why would people refuse to believe? I'll tell you what. The next verse explains it. This is the verdict. "Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil." I'm totally committed to helping you think through honest intellectual issues and questions so you can have a valid faith. But here's what you need to understand. Once we deal with those issues, the real reason why most of us don't come to Jesus is not because there aren't good intellectual answers for tough intellectual questions. The reason is because when light comes into our life, it exposes us. And what it exposes is evil. And it shows the pride in my life. And God knows about the sin in you, and the sin in you, and the sin in me. And he knows what's in your closet. And he knows how you spend your money. He knows how you think, and he knows what your motives are. He knows your moral practices and your lack of them. He knows how much you want to be in control and how focused and egocentric you are and I am. And it's called pride. And in order to believe in Christ, you must lay that aside, repent, and turn from your sin and admit you got a need. And the reason we don't believe is because of that. Not because there aren't good answers to tough questions. In fact, notice the very last line of the passage. "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for they fear his deeds will be exposed." It's a moral issue. "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God." God's dream for many people in this room today, come to the light. Come to the light. Weigh the evidence. Examine it. And today, receive Christ as your Savior. As we close, I'd like you to pull out a pen. I want to put you to work for just 20 seconds before we leave. And at the very bottom it says, "What will you do with the evidence?" I'd like you to jot down two words: accept it or reject it. Accept it or reject it. There's no middle ground. There's no later. There's no... You see, the evidence has been laid out. You're a jury, except the jury is just you. And the outcome of your life will be determined by whether you accept or reject the evidence. God painstakingly has preserved these things because he loves you so much. He wants you to be a part of his family. Believers, stand strong in the truth and share it boldly. Those of you that are not yet in the family today, believe today. Believe today. It'll be the most intelligent, wise, emotionally, intellectually satisfying decision you'll ever make. Will your life get easy? No. Will you be healthy, wealthy, and wise and never have any more problems? No. That's not the promise. Will you have relationship in the vacuum of your heart and your life? Will you receive forgiveness and peace and purpose? Yes. And the moment you die, you will spend eternity with the Son of God. Father, thank you for preserving through extra-biblical sources, Pliny, Josephus, Tacitus. Thank you for the 5,000 manuscripts. Thank you for the airtight case that you make and give us the evidence. And so we pray in our heart of hearts that you would help us to deal with the big issue, the moral one, the willingness to lay down our pride and to turn away from our sin, admit that we have need, and ask you to be our Savior. And right now, I'd ask you right in your chair, if you're in that state where you realize you're at a crossroads and you need to receive Christ and just don't know how, I'm going to pray a prayer. And saying the words I say do not make you a Christian. Saying the words I say as a statement to God that you want to be in His family, that's a transfer of trust, and that does. Right now, in the sanctuary of your own heart, just cry out and say, "Dear God, save me. Forgive me for all my sins. Today, I trust in Christ for the payment of all my sin. Come into my life right now. Make me the man, the woman, the student.